Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know there was that time when Jesus was here with us and you had been in him, Lord, as the incarnation at that time, but left him in the garden. And there he prayed, Lord, and we know that you heard his prayer and answered on the grounds that he himself said you always hear and always answer because it's always according to will. And we stand this morning on it that as we have had the word given to us brought down by those who heard the apostles and Paul himself having been face to face with you, Lord, and now prophet in the end time, we believe also we're sanctified by that word. And somebody's ready for a presentation. If not we, there's somebody else, Lord, who will certainly be in that great array at that particular time. We just ask you, Lord, that you help us in this last hour because we know things are closing in. The revelation is getting brighter and brighter and truer to us, Lord, and we're happy for that, but we know that much more goes with it, much more, Lord, in the realm of nervousness, caused by inspiration, all of these things, Lord, and yet we realize that you are helping us, and we wish to realize even further that all these things are a part of it, and therefore we can rejoice whatever is happening in the world, though it's very, very terrible, and we can rejoice what is happening in us because redemption is just about completely over as far as these ages are concerned, and the human beings, Lord, ready for entering into a part of eternity which we know nothing of at this particular point except a little word. But as to knowing it really, we don't. But we have faith, Lord, that one day we'll be in that position of realization, even as we've already realized that there has been a prophet who brought the word. So we commend ourselves in this morning and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, in Satan's Eden number 16, which was, I guess, a week ago Sunday, that was Wednesday, rather, we found Brother Branham in pages 9 and 10 describing the original structuring of the earth as being one vast vista or panoramic, as he would call it, of beautiful parks, paradises, with Eden as its special and most beautiful garden wherein God set up his headquarters upon earth with his son and, of course, his daughter also, Adam, or rather his son Adam and his daughter Eve in charge because she was co-equal with him at that particular time. Now, Brother Branham takes great pains in defining the relationship of God and his son Adam and applying it to us. Now, his simple statement in paragraph 30, now this is concerning us. And then God made one of his attributes from his own body. Now, he's speaking there concerning Adam. But if you will go to the book of Hebrews, which we go to so many, many times, and we'll see where Brother Branham says we come exactly as Jesus came. It says in the third verse of Hebrews 1, who being the outraying of his glory, the express image of his person, or the expression of his substance. And of course, this being Jesus upholding all things by the word of his power, because God created all things by him. Now, the thought we're looking at there is that Brother Branham said that Jesus was the fullness of the attributes of the Godhead bodily. Now, what does he say about Adam? And then God made one of God's own attributes from God's own body. Yet Brother Branham said that God didn't have a body. Well, what was he speaking of? Not as we have right hand and left hand, but God is certainly not an amorphous chunk of spirit that's floating around filling the universe. He's absolutely defined. And even though his spirit can be everywhere, as far as the baptism with the Holy Ghost is concerned, his spirit cannot be everywhere as far as his own person is concerned, and it does not need to be because he's omniscient and omnipotent. Now, the press will tell you different. The press knows everything. They didn't criticize Swagger so much for his womanizing. They criticized him because, you see, he believes in one God. And any theologian knows there are three gods. And everybody knows he is omnipresent. That is hogwash. If God is omnipresent, I just took a bite out of God. I breathed him in. So much for Dan Rather and the rest of those birds. It wasn't Dan Rather that said it. Press runs everything now. God had pity on this generation. But God's not going to have pity. Getting back to what Brother Branham said. And then God made one. Took one of his attributes. Took that special one, so special that it's called Jesus, the last Adam, the second man. So when you're dealing with Adam, you're dealing with somebody in a far greater, a greater magnitude of respect in the plan of God as of beginnings than anybody else. Adam, the man, then Jesus becoming a man. He took that one attribute. Just the same as he took the fullness of his attributes from within himself, of which the Son was an outraying. All right? Brother Branham continues, God has attributes in his body like you are an attribute of your father. Now he's bringing it into the simplicity that when God breathed into Adam the breath of lives, which was the Holy Ghost, not the baptism, but a very life of God himself, somehow beyond the human mind, in order to propagate God, that God might be the father of many sons and many daughters. And he placed it all in Adam. And Adam became a living soul. I ask the question, what was he before that? A dead one? No. Any more than the living God was dead and suddenly in him was life. So then now we got an evolved chunk of something from God knows what. And now we got God. Hogwash. He was the living God. The same as Adam was a living person. But the qualification there is that word Zoe, which signifies within God was not only that desire, but that ability to put himself into a form. So that God became 100% one with nature. That's why this world will never be destroyed. That's why it'll only be dissolved and brought back. And that's why New Jerusalem will be upon it, and we will be here as glorified children. So Brother Branham is saying, as he said in Melchizedek, now notice the importance of all of these messages run together. There is no difference. It's just like the Bible. He said, we came just like Jesus came, but we bypassed the theophonic form. We bypassed, as Paul said, a spirit body, which if you die, you go to. Because the minute you leave the source of life, no matter where that source of life was permitted to flow, you immediately have to take on the configuration that God wanted for it. And you can see the intricacy of it as you examine the sperm and the egg. And you don't have an inkling as to what the configuration is by simply examining it. Unless we come to the place where we're smart enough to understand the sperm of a human being from a sperm of an animal. And the egg and so on, which I suppose you can. Then you can say, this will produce a human being. All right, tell me exactly what color and how long will the nose be and how wide the eyes, the difference, you know, the space between the eyes. What will the earlobes be like? Tell me. So you can't understand too much, but you can believe, because it's all out here in nature. So God has attributes in His body, like you are an attribute of your Father. And you put that back in Adam, because Eve was in Adam. And He did not take the life of propagation from Adam and put it in Eve. He simply put a life in her and a form that could receive the life to bring forth the life. So He talks of being in the Father. He's not being mad at women. But you know, the Jews got the idea. If you got a Jewish mother, then you're a Jew. Hogwash. There's something crazy with the Jews. All right. Let me give you an idea what this means to me. Each person sitting here this morning, each one actually an attribute. That's what he's saying. Each of you being here because of your Father. But you're not here because of your mother. Especially the men. If the women could have a child by what they call parthenogenesis, which means she could have a child by herself, you'd be a girl. Because she hasn't got the X and Y chromosomes. Only the male carries the Y. I think that's it. I always get it backwards before. It doesn't matter. There's two chromosomes. That's why some men only have daughters. They don't carry the other chromosome. That's in the will of God, so don't fret about your masculinity. That's a lot of hogwash. Don't worry about that. All right. Thus, you are an attribute, a life in a germ or seed coming from your Father and in His likeness, because Eve was in the likeness of Adam, a helpmeet, which means one like He is. So you go back to Father. And again, we're not insulting women. We're just being with the Scripture. And if you can't be with the Scripture, sisters, look at, you're lost. And if you men try to take advantage, you're the devil. A beast. So, can't have your cake and eat it. There are no black, white birds, drunk, sober people. No Christian unbelievers that are real Christians. Nor unborn again, see. Then Brother Branham goes on to explain that the reason for those attributes of sons and daughters is for family purposes, fellowship. Not God strutting across the stage. I'm the great one. You know, years ago, I worked with a guy. His name was Boone. I think his name was even Daniel. He was not from Kentucky. I don't think Daniel Boone was in Kentucky in the first place. I think he moved in there. But you know, he was macho, strong. And he could talk, bless God, if his sons went, he could knock them down. Oh, he's always greater than his sons. Is that the kind of God you and I have a concept of? I thought a father, usually, if he had the chance, exalted his children above himself even. If there is anything in him to exalt. He gave Jesus a name above every name. And he gave Adam the first name. And his purpose is bringing many sons into glory. It was fellowship. My wife and I don't have half the brains our kids have. I don't say they've used them. Every generation gets smarter and weaker. Only thing I feel sorry for about our kids is the fact they don't see the things of God as we see them. But as far as having attributes, they've left us in the mud. Long, long time ago. fellowship. Thus, at the beginning, we were all locked up inside of God, who is our life source. Then we were allowed to come into manifested individuals through the flesh, starting with Adam. It's exactly right. Then how could anybody say we were reprobates? How could they say we were pigs or goats? Something wrong with somebody's, and it's not God's word. Then one day even God took on a human form as he indwelt Jesus the Christ. Positively then, God's purpose was to display his attributes in fellowship. Therefore, that was God's purpose, to display his attributes, to bring forth his sons in fellowship. If you and I could have real fellowship with our children, which the reason to bring up children is to, as rapidly as possible, but not too rapidly, bring them to the place where the daughters are peers with their mothers and the sons are peers with their fathers. Adoption. Now tell me, you parents, be honest. How many of your fathers, and I don't remember mine at all, your fathers brought you and wanted you to come to the place they could say, son, we're equal. I'm looking at some of you. You know your father's right today browbeat you.
But my son's okay, but look at me.
Am I cutting close to the bone? I'm not stupid. I know what goes on. What about women? There's something a little bit different, isn't there, when Brother Branham tells it, that when you and I just think on our own. This is what a prophet does. Therefore, that was God's purpose, to display his attributes in fellowship. Now, he doesn't talk about his great conglomerate attribute concerning Jesus, and said, I got fellowship with my son, hallelujah, and you other little sons down there, you're really a bunch of kind of mongrels. And if you make it, bless God, I'll bat your brains around. His attributes. I can smugly stand by with the full assurance of God's love, which is in election and predestination made known at this hour to you and me. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him, because he loves me. He's not talking about worship. He's talking about fellowship, which will show is the secret of worship. Therefore, that was God's purpose, to display his attributes, his sons, in fellowship. When I was in my father, I knew nothing about it. But when I became his son, when I became, certainly, God is a becoming God. And everything is a becoming thing. This is where Brother Branham, in his Kentucky English, so despised by all the great people, and now he's really being stepped on by all the theologians and all the media, everybody else, they hate his guts, literally. But all come out fighting for him. Well, not nice. No, dirty. Screaming like a banshee if I have to, and using language isn't becoming, and I never use good language anyway, which is especially becoming to a pulpit. These are scum, scurvy, satanic devils, because they have no knowledge of the word become. When God became one of us, it was on the understanding of the word becoming flesh. He always was one of us because we are his children and issued forth from him. Oh, I know they don't understand because they can't figure how that could be with David, a man after God's own heart. Listen, in his adultery, he was still a man after God's own heart. In his murder, he was still a man after God's own heart. Adultery and murder weren't a part of God's nature. They were part of the serpent flesh. The temptation that lay in there, but he was God's own son and a man after God's own heart because it's a part of God. I'm not defending sin. I'm defending the word that's preached of the truth that you can do what you want. Yeah. And I, as a father, I knew nothing about it when I became. But I was brought into flesh and born of him. I was an attribute, a part of my father's. You are part of your father. And as children of God, we are part of God's attributes that were in him, made flesh like he was made flesh, so that we can have fellowship one with another. One with the other. As a family of God upon earth. And argue bitterly over doctrine. Well, if I didn't muss my hair up, I'd pull my hair off my face and look at you, because some of you might want me to hide on this. Brother Bannon made such a carnal statement. And yet depart as brothers. No ill offense. But you got to stand for the word. I hope you are beginning to understand. I'll help you a little while later. Because no matter how hard we try, there is still a problem. And I'm not scolding you for it. I'm just letting us know where we are. And as children of God, we are a part of God's attributes are in him, made flesh like he was made flesh, so we can have fellowship one with the other. As a family of God upon the earth, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is constantly cleansing us. So therefore, it is not a matter of whether the blood is on the mercy seat or ever got there or not. It is a matter of the word. So the blood can do nothing without the word. Joe Raskin just came back from Hungary. He couldn't wait to phone me, but I beat him to the punch because I wanted to see if he was home. So I found out what I wanted to find. Like in America, Europe hates me. You know why? Because I dare to quote the prophet. Five men from Germany and Holland came to where Joe was. And the first thing they did was land into me. They said, well, Lee Vale says that Jesus is not on the mercy seat. He's on his father's throne. And Joe said, just a minute. What if he quoted the prophet? They don't even know what the prophet said. They take everything by their own tradition, their own understanding. I wouldn't give you a nickel for it. It's what did God say that's vindicated, not what I say, not what I understand. See, not what understands, what God said, vindicated by a prophet. One family of God upon the earth. And that is God's purpose at the beginning. That is God's purpose at the beginning, fellowship. Yes, sir, that is what God wanted at the beginning. If he wanted it at the beginning, he's going to get it at the end. Amen. Well, he's got it. Brother Branham said that seed that is planted, he said, I don't care how long it's there and what stages it goes through. When it comes to maturity, the same seed that went in the ground is going to be the same seed that comes out of the ground. The same seed in Adam for that same purpose is going to come back. That's why marriage over there is a matter of fellowship, not a husband and wife deal. That's what God wanted in the beginning. He had everything under control, and he turned man over into the Garden of Eden on free moral agency and said, "Son, it's yours. Son, it is yours." God was so satisfied that he just went back and rested from all his works. When will God be satisfied? When we come to fellowship. Not a macho God who knows everything and can do everything and is spying on everything, and there's just retribution and all of these things. Oh, all of those things are very nice as far as the world's concerned, but not as far as I am concerned. By the grace of God, not as far as this church is concerned, and those who hear my voice preaching what Brother Branham preached and laid out here, and I've read it to you word by word and haven't lied about it. I want that kind of a life, which is fellowship. I want the satisfaction that God is satisfied with. A spiritual, physical harmony, a true wholeness was there in the world at that time. And why is everybody that understands holistic medicine, why are doctors changing today in spite of their brilliant brains, so-called? It says, get in a harmony with nature. The ecologists are screaming for it. The vegetarians are screaming for it. People are crying for it. Get with nature. They've destroyed it. God knew what he was doing. Now, God's purpose was to display his attributes and fellowship. This is definitely seen in Hebrews 2:11 and 12. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. One what? One Father. For which cause? He is not ashamed to be called to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And of course, people want to turn that. And they say, well, you become a brother and a sister when you get born again. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You get manifested as being a brother and a sister. That's the placing. You know, God even placed you in this church here this morning if you believe in sovereignty. Amen. Don't feel too uncomfortable because I'm a rough preacher. You ain't had it rough yet. You wait till something begins to happen. You know, we're not homosexual and a bunch of fools around here. If any, the wrath is going to come, it'll come upon us because we stand against all that stuff. Furthermore, we stand with a vindicated prophet, and that's really going to bring the wrath of God. Wrath of Satan, I should say, upon the world. Now, let's keep moving. Now, going on to paragraph 35, which I read, we go to 36, and it says, then, when he went out to take a little rest, his enemy stepped in with deceit and took it over by misinterpreting his program to his children. Misinterpreting his program. What was his program? Be in fellowship with me according to my word, and you got it all. This is a cooperative endeavor. Man has tried to get back through socialism. It won't work. It comes through theocracy. Even Plato knew that the best form of government is benevolent dictatorship. When God gave an example of the millennium, he let Israel go into the promised land with the understanding they'd be under the pillar of fire and a prophet. He said, you're going to get a king, all right. I don't want you to have one, but you're going to have one. I'll cooperate. When he put his trust in his own child, as you put trust in your daughter when she goes out at night with a man, when you put trust in your son when he has to go with a drinking boy or with a smoking boy, see, he put trust in his son that he would not do anything wrong and would keep every word that he said, but the enemy slipped in, like that greasy slicker that would take out your daughter and misbehave himself, or some woman go out with your son, the same thing, see? He slipped in, the enemy of God slipped in, and misinterpreted the word to eat. Now, that's the secret of Satan's Eden, the misinterpretation of the word. And as I've said before, taking it back to our Garden of Eden, in the light of a new-formed bride under the blood of Christ and the baptism with the Holy Ghost, the pillar of fire and the apostle prophet Paul. It was hardly days gone by. But he said, well, somebody says, I'm a Paul, I'm a Paulus, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm the other thing. And he said, Satan's already got you. You've got another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. Come on, folk. That's 2,000 years ago. And what kind of a mess is the church in? It had the same Bible we've got. What are you talking about? The Catholic Church said they wrote the Bible. They wrote the Bible, my foot. They wrote it. How come it's so hard to understand? According, they took it away from the people for years. Now they got the Bible back as they were shaped than ever, because now they're all talking in tongues. Now, misinterpreted the word. Now, we must be careful here. It could only be misinterpreted on the grounds of an original and true interpretation. There cannot be a counterfeit unless there is an original. Notice the original for our day is Deuteronomy 18, the pillar of fire and a prophet with thus saith the Lord, which is his vindication. And if he hasn't got it, you don't believe it. I don't care what anybody says. See, they don't believe it. The Catholic Church said they wrote the Bible. Where's their thus saith the Lord? Never did have it. Paul the Apostle was the one that had it, not Rome. Paul in 2 Corinthians tells it. And William Branham, the prophet of God in the end time. After him, after Elijah, comes the warning. After the prophet, there comes the false teachers. But at the end time, there's got to be somebody come and open the book so we don't add or take a word. Otherwise, there can be no rapture. All right. As I said in Satan's Eden, number 16, there is no mention of the word worship in Eden. Though there is there, but not directly specified as the word worship. For in the beginning, the very first word in the Bible that mentions worship means to bow down. That is its major use in the Old Testament, as it refers to relationships between men and spiritual authorities or forces unknown or greater than themselves, or known and acknowledged as worship of deference. In other words, you're giving worship to somebody because you feel the person has it coming to him because he's of that type of character and greatness before the people's eyes. Now, the point is this. If God made Adam and Eve co-equal and set them in the garden with the Holy Spirit directing them, you cannot find a worship per se of this nature, which means to bend down. It is a fellowship. Which fellowship is sufficient in itself to give God the glory and honor which would constitute worship. Like as I said many years ago, and it confused me until this very moment. I had the only answer I could get, however, concerning it. And that is this. God never said one place in his word, I love you. But he turns right around the book of Exodus and said, you better love me. And I said, what is the answer? The answer can only be one thing. That everything was so propitious to their well-being, to everything that any want, they'd ever want, that you couldn't help but love him. And this is what we see from what Brother Branham is teaching. What I gather. See? Now, notice, man was upright. He wasn't like the beast. He walked and talked face to face with God as contrasted to kneeling. He didn't kneel. It would have been all right. There was fellowship. And in fulfilling that fellowship of son to father, there was worship. Let's go to John. If I got this right. Notice verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. Well, that's same as Adam. And the Father hath not left me alone. God just stood back and watched Adam. For I always do those things that please him. Fellowship. See? Guidance there. Let's go to John 11. 42. And I knew thou hearest me always. Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. See, what I'm looking at is the last Adam, the second man, was an upright person who talked face to face with God. But it isn't that only. The prophets did it. Adam was the first prophet in that particular area on that grounds. Now notice, Jesus, now watch now, this Jesus that talked face to face, this Son of God, who was a son of Adam according to the flesh, a son of David. Now let's get over here to Ephesians. The first chapter, verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This one person, Jesus, that said, I've got this fellowship. He's with me always. This was his God, which meant that he worshiped God. You follow what I'm trying to say? That worship does not stand by, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. And they go into a sort of a trance, a state of exaltation, a state of meditation, a state of where they talk to God and get a lot of good things back and they get healed and everything else, and that makes it wonderful. Hallelujah. Now it does. Now that's very wonderful. It'd be terrible if they didn't appreciate God for what he's doing, because 10 lepers were healed and only one came back to thank him. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? I'm not saying, look, get me straight. I'm not saying worship isn't in existence. It always was. But I'm trying to bring us to the place to understand. What are the grounds? What are the principles of it? Notice, in Matthew 4 and 10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Jesus positively set forth worship. But the basis was a communion. It was a fellowship. And let's go even further. It was a sonship. Adam and Eve had fellowship one with another. They were speaking creatures. If she could speak to the serpent, she could sure speak to her husband. And let's understand this flat. Her husband spoke to her, because God spoke to her husband. And Adam told Eve everything she needed to know. She was in constant fellowship with her husband. Now then, enter the beast. In the third chapter of the book of Genesis, we find the account that Brother Branham used, of course. He used Genesis in this Satan's Eden. And in there we find these verses 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is amidst the garden, God has said, you shall eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now there's no scripture that says one thing about the touching, but I'm not saying that that actually was not said, because Adam could have said it. There could have been a revelation there. The serpent said unto him, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now Eve fellowships the serpent, and in so doing immediately walks into and in darkness. She walks into it, and she walks in it. On what grounds? Fellowshipping the serpent. Let every mind be numb this morning and understand that. Oh, I know. There's a lot of Pentecostal background here in the idea that we are emotional. We got a lot of good Baptist brethren. We got a lot of good friends. Hallelujah. We love them. Yes, they could be foolish virgin. They could be this. They could be that. But let's go to the beginning. The minute that Eve fellowshipped the serpent, she was into darkness and she walked in it. Now, you can say what you want, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And what you say is a lie. What I say is the truth. Because Brother Branham said the minute she got from behind the word, and what word did she take? She took Satan's word. What was she doing? Fellowshipping Satan. You say what you want. Then you wonder why Satan is worshipped in this age? Oh, come on. How could he not be? The big question is, oh, not will he be worshipped? Is how could he not be? Just the same as this, we believe there. How could he not be worshipped? If we believe in the pillar of fire, whose picture is on my left hand here and on your right. Listen to 1 John here. And we go 1-7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of light. Of the Logos of light. The great manifester sent forth his son. The one from the beginning. Who was the beginning of all things. He himself. And God by him creating. Came right down here. How? Oh, I can't explain it. I can tell it to you. But I'm not in the explaining business. I'm in the teaching business. You say, don't be ridiculous. Don't you be ridiculous. We got some pretty smart men here. These men here could teach about electricity. Tell me all about it, honey. You wrap your tongue pump around your tonsils and give yourself a tonsillectomy. Because you can't do it. You can know all the laws. And you can produce it with machinery. Tell me about it. Where does it really come from? What do you really know about it? Live under high tension wires. Your kids get leukemia. Been proven. Those are ordinary lights up there. But everybody knows that these neon lights, fluorescents, are dangerous. Unless you got a lead shield. People sitting by computers all day long, is it just carpal tunnel they're getting? No, they're dying. Your body conducts radio waves. Is that good for you? Don't be ridiculous. Don't be foolish. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. He said, come on with us. He said, and I'll take you by this fellowship I have to Him who gave it. That fella says, he's telling you he's a mediator. He's been deputized. He's got a job to do. Well, bless God, I don't need him because I got God. Hallelujah. Something's wrong with people. You're a law to yourself, the way the beast was. And I'm going to tell you something. It's easier and more fun to follow the beast than it is God, if you know what I'm talking about. But there's hell to pay at the end. Because even death and hell are thrown in the lake of fire. And these things we write unto you that are out there and can't get to me, said John, that you're drawing me before. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Tell me where William Branham changed it. Tell me where he changed it. That pillar of fire, taken by camera, is no different from the one in flesh that trod the shores of Galilee, the streets of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and so on. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, and listen to the serpent, we're liars. And do not the truth. There's no way. But like Cain. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses them all light. In other words, the light from God that came by the life that manifested the true God and the truth of God was there in their telling it. And Paul came right on their heels and by manifestation, vindication, proved it. And now at the end time, the same thing. Now, are you going to tell me, sit in this church, Grace Gospel Church, and say that you are not fellowshipping the devil if you fellowship lies and anything against this word? I hope we got, if we don't have time, get another tape ready, bud, because we ain't going nowhere. We got a last meeting this Friday. I'm not closing down. I'm only on page 3, about 10 pages or 8 pages. I'll try to work faster. Fellowship is gone. Let's keep reading. I read it. Her fellowship is gone. Now, true worship now lies in the dust. Yeah. It's gone. Lies in the dust. Oh, yes, he made them for fellowship. But he took them out of dust. And he said, dust you came from, dust you are, and dust you return, because you broke the fellowship. And God wasn't saying, come run bow, come run bow, come run bow, come run bow. God doesn't have a bow wow doctrine. That's for the dogs. God has a bad doctrine for the sheep. They're so happy because they're being fed. And the sheep know his voice. Oh, yeah. Come on. Not this junk. True worship now lies in the dust. Another worship is instituted. Not a fellowship as in the garden, but an offering of a sacrifice and a bowing down. Now let's go to Genesis. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 18 because that's the place to go. Always go to the beginnings. This is Brother Brand's favorite chapter. This is Hebrews 13:8. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre as he sat in the door of the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, my Lord. Doesn't say Lord's now. He said, my Lord. Because he knew one was God and one two were angels. My Lord, if not. And that's right, you can prove it, because two angels went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. So one God stood there. So don't get all crazy ideas about some stupid Trinity idea. And I got my answer, by the way, about the crossover. Don't worry. I had it years ago and didn't recognize it. Now, I found grace in thy sight, pass not away from me, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort your hearts, and after you'll pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servants. And they said, so do you as thou hast said. You know, here's old Abraham, he recognizes God, and he comes running, and he bows down, and he says, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to worship you. Oh, yes, and God said, well, if that's what you want to do, go right ahead. So went right ahead and did it. Nothing really wrong. Nothing really wrong. But now, let's take a little quick gander and get over here to verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I'll certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were stricken in years, they were real old, and it ceased to be Sarah after the manner of women. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said, Abraham, wherefore does Sarah laugh? Surely Shall I, laugh saying, shall I have a surety bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too hard to the Lord? Well, it looked like that worship didn't do too much good, did it? They'd already had the word of promise. Now when God himself comes to fulfill it, to let them know the day is being hastened like it's in our day, the rapture is going to be here pretty soon now. She says, hey, I don't think he's with it. Oh, you don't think he's with it? Why, that couldn't be. She types that church worldly, doesn't she, pretty good. But the worldly church doesn't get an answer. She's really bright, but she's in a bad shape. What am I trying to show you here? God carries on a conversation with his son Abraham. There's a communion. Then he turns his back on this, and he said, shall I withhold from Abraham because he's my friend? I'll tell you that because the Bible said Abraham was the friend of God. He said, shall I withhold from Abraham, my friend, what I'm going to do? It was communion. Now listen, the worship part is fine. I'm happy for every church that worships. It's great. But what if they turn down the word? Now you see what God did for a bride here. He said, I'm going to correct her. I'm going to put her right. But I'm going to tell you, nobody else believed it. Nobody else believed that was going to happen, but it did happen. See? Friend of God. All right. By going to John 4:19-26, the woman at the well, the argument came about worship. She said, they tell me, you bunch of Jews, you worship Jerusalem. Our father's coming after Jacob and all the rest. They say, well, we're worship over here in Samaria. He said, woman, you don't even know what you worship. And he said, your gang's just like you. Could she have represented the foolish virgin? I don't know, but she sure represents somebody. But she's way offbeat. She could be bright in the ground. She turns around, but she represents somebody out there. They can't take it. Now, he said, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what if you got neither? What if you come? Don't come me. In Paul's day, in just a few years, they changed the word and they changed the spirit. That's 2,000 years ago. How would you like to eat a Chinese 1,000-year-old egg? I don't know such a thing exists, but it's right in the menu. A 2,000-year-old Jesus and Spirit and Word. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I don't think I could stomach that. God accepts worship only if it is in truth. That goes back to Cain. Cain who worshiped God, but he misdivided the word. The first fruit offering was there. It has to be a first fruit offering because the Septuagint says, thou hast rightly offered, but if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? And the Bible specifically, taught by Paul in Timothy, says rightly dividing the word. Well, you haven't got it. Matthew 15:7-9 tells about the false tree by the false prophet. And that goes all the way to Revelation 3:14, where the people say, I'm rich, increased in goods, and don't lack a thing. They're wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't know it. And under 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, they receive the word of the Antichrist, actually ending up worshiping Satan, who incarnates himself in a person. That's what he does. All right. The family of God is a family of revealed Word of God children. Now look, they can grow into error, but they got to come back. Right. And remember, Eve was deceived. It wasn't Adam. Adam, with both eyes, jumped right into sin with his wife. God knew he would, because God said, listen, I'm putting you on probation. You will leave me for this woman, so you better watch out. Because the father and mother of Adam was God. For this cause will a man leave father and mother. And it's absolutely true that more men will leave everything and anything for a woman than anything else. That's the way a man's built, and a woman can take advantage of it. And that's why the church gets so many people, because there's money in it. Community respect. Go to church. Shake hands with the preacher, anything else, you're a part of it. All right, the family of God is a family of the revealed Word of God. There again is Hebrews 12, which we read so many times, verse 19, 18, for you are not come to the mount that might be touched, to burn with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and even the sound of a trumpet, and even the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and so much as the beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned, or so on. So Terrible, like Moses said, I quake exceedingly, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels, messengers, even to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, even to God, the judge of all, even to the spirits of just men made perfect, even to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkled speaketh better things than that of Abel. You think we haven't got a new covenant based on the grounds as appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment? You bet we got it. Has there any such thing as a new covenant? Never has been. It's always been the same old one. It's an embellishment. It's a further understanding. It's something written in heaven already there. Even before the foundation of the world, when the Lamb was crucified, knowing it. Right. Was already made. The record was already made. The name's written. And it tells you right here, coming down, Jesus himself coming down, speaking to us and saying, all right, it's been removed. You're a little bride. You didn't even do it. There's no judgment anymore. Some of you standing here will not see death. You're going to go into rapture. Sounds like a pipe dream, brother, sister, but it's true. But notice carefully in verse 18. You're not come to that. You're not come to Sinai. Now, who was at Sinai? Moses and God was at Sinai. What about it? That's when they said, we don't want to hear the voice of God. We want a prophet. All right. But God said you can have a prophet, and he will teach you the truth. But you're not come to that mountain there where the prophet brought condemnation. And what came from Mount Sinai? No. We're not there. Don't do this and don't do that. Some laws and something hashed up. But we are come where? Where the word was given twice, which was at Horeb, which as Bunyan brings out, and Brother Branham brought out. It was a place of blessing. The word given the second time is what Deuteronomy is. Twice or repeated. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Now, listen, many people say, yea, hath God said, just like the serpent said to Eve. Right. Going back to Sinai, they did not recognize God. They could not take what was given to them at that time as being of God, as the word was given. They had lost their fellowship. They were out of communion entirely. They had gone astray from the things of Almighty God. Now, we are not come to Sinai to get a message of law. We are come to the heavenly New Jerusalem, which cannot be approached unto unless immortality breaks the bonds of death. Right? Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. We're not looking, brother, sister, for anything that's going to take us away from the heavenly Jerusalem. We are looking for everything that opens the doors to it. And the door to it
is a resurrection, immortality, and a rapture. How's it going to come? Only one way. You got to hear that voice from heaven. The Bible speaks of it concerning Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come full circle, brother, sister. Make no, no mistake about it. We have come absolutely full circle. We started out with it was a prophet. William Branham, a prophet to God in the Word. Then we got to God in His prophet, because then we saw the presence of Almighty God. We saw Him revealed to us. We begin to understand Godhead. Then Brother Branham told us the last message he preached was communion. He said that was a fellowship. And he took us to the Word. Now, the highest form of worship is now before us in 2 Corinthians. Now, watch carefully. This is a family. And here's where the rough stuff comes in. This is not spoken by William Branham to one person. This is not a message given to Billy Paul or his daughter Rebecca or his wife Needy or his son Joseph or even Sarah or anybody else. This is not the Branham family or one Branham or one good buddy in whom he sat and helped him. This is to the bride. Now it talks about Mount Sinai when the veil was upon Moses' face and the veil was upon their hearts. They could not receive by their intellectual minds what God was giving to them. And this is all part of Satan's Eden. Now get that flat. You didn't think I was preaching Satan's Eden, did you? You think I'm preaching to you're preaching false anointing. You're entirely wrong. I'm preaching Satan's Eden. Because the false anointed are part of Satan's Eden, which is part of the mystery of iniquity, which is the man of sin. And the son of perdition is the head of the man of sin. Because as the son of perdition, Judas positively cast out devils, everything else. But as the man of sin centered in Satan entered into him for the destruction and yet the fulfilling of the Word of God. Destruction of Christ. Turning people away from Him. Crucifying. Get rid of Him. Get rid of you. See? Now listen. Even this day when Moses is read, verse 15, 2 Corinthians 3, the veil's upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the heart, the mind, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Now He's telling you it's not going to come by Jesus coming and do it in the form of a person of physical flesh glorified, which is Himself. He can't do it that way. Can He? No. It's His Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now watch. But we all with open face, that's the veil taken on, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Looking into a mirror. We are looking in a mirror. What do you see? An image. What is Christ? The image of God. The very one that was in Him that came out. Stood there as that Son by whom God was in and created the world. That same one that came down and took upon a veil of flesh that God Himself entered into. He's in me and I'm in Him. Now come on, just get your scripture straightened up. Don't try to figure it, just believe it. He said, now the Lord is that Spirit. Now, I said, He's going to come on down. You're going to see Him in that Word. And only through that Word, only when you see that image in the Word, will you be changed from glory to glory by that Spirit. It's going to be Word Spirit. Now, there shouldn't be another verse in another chapter. It says right on, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. What about? Comes by a prophet. Paul, having taught the Ephesians, said, you have not so been taught by Christ, when he knew that nobody but Paul taught them. And William Branham says, what's this? He said, when you see the Father, me, you see the Father. He said, no difference between him and me. When you're looking at me, he said, what is it? He said, not William Branham said, thus saith the Lord, that child, this person, that person. He said, that's William Branham, don't do that. He said, it's God in me. So when you're looking at William Branham, you're looking at God.
Oh, horrors, horrors, horrors. Oh, my, blasphemy, blasphemy, blasphemy.
Then believe a pope has the place of Christ? You bunch of idiots. Some preacher could stand for you. The rest of you get all puffed. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. I don't need it. Something's wrong somewhere. We have a ministry, he said. It's a ministry. A ministry of the Word. Now listen. And he said that ministry. What's the qualities? We've received mercy, having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not hanging the word of God as any, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience of God. In other words, I'm a vindicated man to tell it to you. Then will we accept anything but a vindicated man at the end time to bring this about? The church can't do it. A person's got to do it. William Branham said, what is it? He said, you're looking at me. As people looked at Jesus, there were two personalities. He said, that's a big mystery. Never said it wasn't. Are you big enough to take it? You see, you mean sitting here today, going into what the prophet said, that is my guarantee. It's the only guarantee I know. If you don't think you're supposed to see him, brother, sister, remember what I taught you over here years ago. I got it as I stood in the pulpit in Marion, Indiana. Many, many years ago. It never struck me until that time. I said, hey, my God, we've been taught wrong. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it hath never yet appeared, we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And I caught it right there. I said, we've been taught a lie. It says you get changed. They tell us. Then you get caught up. My Bible says here, you got to get changed before you get caught up to see him. So therefore, what is it? You got to see him down here to get your change. Did you come up here to see him? One is where you see him as the image of God in the last hour. Through the Word, the Spirit revealing it. The next time he's incarnated and is face to face in immortality. I don't know if you can understand that or not. But it's the truth anyway. Now, listen to me carefully. Jesus, when he was here on earth in flesh, did not ask for worship. Actually, he denied it, saying, worship God. However, after having proven his words by his resurrection, he allowed it and proclaimed it. For he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And he allowed them to hold him by the feet and worship him. He accepted it. Now, particularly notice what Jesus desired. And what he particularly desired and asked for on the grounds of his vindication by the Father, who vindicated scripturally his Son, was this acceptation of his presence. As to who was there, for he said in John, Matthew 16:15, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter, who do you say I am? Who am I? He said, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, that's right. I am the one that's present with you. I am that one. And then he said in John 14:7, we'll read it because I don't want to skip over this. My memory might not be the best in the world. And quoting it, and he said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. He wanted his presence accepted that he was there as the Messiah. Only on that condition did he truly reveal his name and his identification and let them know the truth. And this statement comes out of a church not too far from here that says, oh, yeah, we believe in the presence. That's just another doctrine like serpent seed. We don't major on a minor. Mind if I look somebody in the eye when I say it? Where's your worship? You deny his fellowship. Deny his presence. Oh, well, we'll just believe it. It's like I told the deity cult that wanted different ones, want Brother Branham back. All that. Why, Brother Branham come back? I said, here stands Jesus. I told him. And he said, I'm here. I'm your Lord. Oh, Brother Branham. Brother Branham, come back. Brother Branham, come back. Hold it. The pillar of fire, I am he to lead you to the millennium. Brother Branham. Without that, William Branham does not come back. Don't put the creature above the Creator. Let me say this to diffuse any thoughts you've got if you're so ignorant. If William Branham's not the first man up, I'm missing my guess. That's not just a guess, because the last to first and the first to last, and always that first one's got to come up. Because he's got to present his group. He'll be back. What he does, I don't know. But I know one thing. If that one there does not raise him, he's not going to be raised. And who should we give glory to? Me. He said, I want to be accepted. He said, I'm coming in my Father's name. You don't receive me. But he that receives me receives him that sent me. And there's going to come another. In his own name you will receive. Then he asked for fellowship. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will shall be done. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He said, many man thirst, come unto me and drink. He said, take my yoke upon you in communion and learn of me. That's Alpha. What about Omega? In this hour... What about Matthew, the 12th chapter, Matthew 4th chapter? Can he be any different today as Omega, according to Hebrews 13 and 8, especially in the light of Revelation 3 and 20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. I'll have fellowship. What about Malachi 3:16? Come on, let's read it. I have a lot of trouble here. God knows I don't understand this church. Churches in Germany, around the world, they go to this like water to a duck's pond. Ducks to a water pond. What's the matter with the people here? Listen, I don't want to abuse you, but my God, there's something wrong somewhere. I warned you. I'm a tough preacher, and my way I preach, I could destroy you. You get so heady up here. It's a mental proposition. But you got to have something stirring in here that's a reality. Just because you think you know something doesn't mean anything. When I challenged you last time I was here, one winter Sunday, I said, you come up in this pulpit and do what I can do. I'll give you 12 hours against 30 minutes of my time. I wasn't boasting. I operate solely not by an instinct, but by something coming out of a scripture. Because I teach, you may like it, you might not like it, but Brother Branham said, I was a teacher. He said, as he had a little gift of healing, nobody wants, I got a little gift of teaching, nobody wants it. It's the truth. You say, how can we prove it? It's on a tape. Here's the Bible open. Knowing there's a God in heaven, I'm meeting you at the white throne right now. You say, I'm going to listen. You don't have to listen to me at all. I can make mistakes. I'm fallible. But get this, they that feared the Lord and spoke off and one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And God stood back there, and here was Adam and Eve talking. He said, that's good, that's good, that's good. And along comes a serpent. He said, that's not so good. You and they were talking? False doctrine. And Eden went. I couldn't get it back. Something just struck. There's some belief here somewhere. I'm not William Branham, but I know when something crosses my heart. Either I said something or somebody's fouled up, and I mean fouled up. Don't be that way. We are back to where God is listening. And he's listening to people talking to each other. They are not praying. They are not worshiping. They are not saying God this and God that. But let me warn you and take you to the Psalms where God consistently speaking to David and perhaps some others in there too that wrote Psalms. It always was this: then forgot they the great works of God, and they didn't talk them anymore. And God brought them down to sore displeasure. Let me tell you something. When they forget what there was said here on the steps of New Jerusalem, when the people forget this prophet and his words, which they've already forgotten, condemned, I'm going to tell you the great judgment of God is upon the people. If it's my own life that needs correction, you bet it does. There needs to be far, far more talking one to another this word. You think for 1 minute that God is going to write a book of remembrance on your words and mine? Ha! Don't be silly. Every thought we had is going to be annihilated at the wedding supper. Or the tears are brushed away. All those things are going to go. Then they feared the Lord, spake unto the Lord, hearken, heard it. And the book of remembrance written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they'll be mine, saith the Lord host, in that day when I make up my jewels. What is the book being written in this hour? There's a book. Listen, if that's the case, if this is Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 23, 7 church age. If this is Revelation 3, 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If this is that end time, then this is that book that opens. And the last age, the beast was the eagle, the living creature. Not beast, living creature. What will be in the minds of men then? What will they be talking? What will they be preaching in time evangelism? This is what God's looking for. Can they take my message? Can they take my word? Or is it all full of Pentecostism? A new patch on an old garment. Oh, that we're majoring on a minor over here in this little church, because every time it's the presence. Listen, let's keep moving. I got to move fast. Today, is it again in vain you worship me, having for tradition the doctrines of men? Brother Branham himself said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. That was the major. I like when man said to Bob Brown, I do appreciate Bob's statement. I'll stand with him every time on this. Man said to him, well, Bob, what has that got to do with the message? He said, sir, it is the message. Can you hear Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare that he is here, and we all know that his ministry was a message? Or was it? Well, come on. You wonder sometimes what to say at your final meetings. I'm going to write you a questionnaire, maybe 300 questions. And I'll know what you know the way you answer. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but come on. What was his ministry? A message. Then what was the message? The declaration of his presence. To have that was preached for 2,000 years. You're a liar. Brother Branham categorically said, the rapture tape, there's no such thing as a true healing ministry or a revival unless there's a change of message, because God does not vindicate an old, dried out, tired message. So here he is. He's here, not in this building. He's here somewhere. Here in the pillar of fire. To lead us to the millennium. Yes, he is. When Moses left, Joshua took over the same pillar of fire, the same word. And Brother Branham said, our Joshua today is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Is the Holy Ghost. That's what he said, yeah. In vain you worship me. But if we, listen, if we no longer have the doctrines of men but of God, and vindicated to be so, then we are worshiping in spirit and in truth, and have escaped the Antichrist. We have clean escaped the judgment of God, for now we are a part of the city of refuge. We have listened to his voice in Hebrews 12 and are a part of New Jerusalem. We have escaped the net of the Antichrist. We are in the net of Almighty God. Can we stand with the reality of the presence and truth, even though it is still a bit vague to us, and we do not seem in control of it as we would like to be? And yet, we can't stand there and acknowledge, as Brother Branham did, it's the truth. And if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, I won't stand it. Let me tell you a story. This is true. I was down in Fort Lauderdale many years ago. My ministry at that time was preaching faith and praying for the sick, of which many people were healed. I used to discern. And Brother Branham said, you're a lot of true discernment, but some were wrong, so quit it. And I did. This Pentecostal boy was there. His mother was a real estate agent. I guess he had a lot of money. I think, I'm not quite sure. As I said, I was preaching on faith, and immediately he sensed that I preached that word of faith in a miraculous God. But I could not produce the power of the word in manifestation before the people. So he came up and self-righteously sneered, and he said, I can tell by your preaching. He said, you ain't got it. Well, he said, you talk, but he said, you can't produce it. Now listen. That boy was controlled by Satan. You say, Bill, you say that just because he attacked you. Just a minute. Satan went up and he said, if thou be the Son of God, use that word. Make it work for you. Either you can or you can't. Let's see it. Now, come on. I'm not dealing with chicken feed this morning. This is not crow food. This is dove food. Whether you take it or not, it's up to you. Satan said that to Jesus. Look at the answer that Jesus gave. Man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by getting answers to the word. Man lives by the word. Jesus said, I only said this for your sake because I knew my Father always heard me. What was it? Lazarus, come on! Lazarus was rotten. He was a resurrection. But he died again. And before he died, the Jews tried to kill him. Now, what good does it do if you get all the answers that are in the Word that bring you something and you yourself are bereft of the life that's in the Word? And it's like Wesley said, I'm not afraid Methodism will ever leave the face of the earth, but I'm afraid the dove will have fled. And when the dove leaves, what have you got? Nothing but a dirty dove coat or whatever you want to call it. A pen. P-E-N. Pen. Man shall not live by bread alone. See? Said, all right. Why don't you jump down off the building? He said, the word of God also said you'd be born up. He said, you don't take the word of God to tempt him. Well, he said, I tell you what. Why don't you fall down and worship me? Well, he said, look, he said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, I'm going to take you to John 14 and show you where this boy positively was a million miles off the track, though he spoke in tongues, and he was sharp as a tack. Let me tell you something. He's like the Mormon guy. He couldn't do it either. I could do a whole lot more than he ever thought of doing. Now, let's read the rest of it. Let's go to John 14. Verse 10, believest thou not him in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. I got nothing to say. But the Father that dwells in me doeth the works. He does the talking, and he does the speaking. Now listen, Jesus had a confrontation with Satan when Jesus was in the form of Michael, the archangel. And they both led in the worship of Almighty God. And Satan, full of the power of God, says, I will exalt myself by this power over the stars of God, which are the people of God, which is the zodiac, which is the Bible, written in the stars. And he said, I'll take this power, and I'll bypass the word, and I'll control the people. Are you thinking? Are you thinking? Where did it start? Thousands of years before Eden. He said to Michael, hit another tape. Just a few minutes. Because I'll quit. Satan said to Michael, stand back or make it work. Watch me take over. I've got both the word and the power, and I'm going ahead with him, both in my own way. Sure, it's God's word, but now it's mine. Why? because it's public domain. Does God say to the Pentecostals, you can't use that word? Well, come on, answer your own question. Does he? No, he doesn't. I can do what I want. Michael Jesus was crucified even back there and could only say, the Lord rebuke you, and walked away. Notice Jesus and Moses. Paul said that pillar of fire was Jesus. The fire and the cloud that followed in the rock. He was up there with Moses. Moses in the presence of God and the Word, giving that Word, receiving it. Moses was not ignored actually, so much as he was doubted and questioned. And Satan said to Eve, hey, what did God say? Questions. Questions. You know what women do? Women ask more questions. One woman will ask more questions than any 10 men, unless that man's got too many hormones in the wrong places. Questions, 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 questions. Can't they learn to sit still and listen? Now, this is a psychological feature in women, so I'm not going to... Don't fight it, and I'm not hitting you for it, but it's just the truth. And a woman types the church. Question, question, question. Where is this Moses? Where is this thing? Where is that thing? Where's the other thing? Why the delay? Well, didn't you see the signs and the wonders? Can't you learn to shut up until something comes out? No, no, question, question, question. Question. Questions, always questioning. Always questioning the Word of God. Now listen, that's when Satan got in. And immediately, as in the Garden of Eden, when Satan got in, adultery was committed. Now come on. Can't you see where the church is and why women are on a rampage, as Brother Branham said? Why, Tommy Mansfield stirred the world upside down. He had 9 wives. And now you got women with 9, 10, 11 husbands. The more the merrier. And they're like Jean-Jean Gabor said, I'm a great housekeeper. Every man I get rid of, I keep his house. And we're just like Jean-Jean. 7 women take hold of the skirt of one man and say, hey, be with us. You talk about a stinking godly ungodliness. Turn to adultery. Turn to idolatry. This age is the age of idolatry and adultery. It's the age of homosexuality. And on every hand they're encouraging it. Satan's Eden. He's having a ball. Yeah. Having a great time. But we're looking for immortality. And today the prophet said, I have the word and the power, but not the authority. Brother Branham went down the tubes, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus, who came on the scene and raised the dead and healed the cripples, even had a multitude where there wasn't anybody that wasn't healed, there wasn't a devil could come against him, there wasn't an eye he couldn't open, a mouth he couldn't open, an ear he couldn't open, and a mouth he couldn't shut. If it was the devil speaking, he shut it up. Then one day he stood back and he said, it's all over. I've still got the power. I've still got the word. But I don't have the authority. The Father said to me, hey, you can't do that. You do this. A little girl came to Brother Branham. She had a dream. And she wanted Brother Branham to smoke something up for her. These pipes, get the opium pipe and get a dream. get an interpretation. He said, honey, I can't do it. He said, what if I just made something up and then someday you really needed help? He said, it wouldn't work. He said, I can only operate as God allows me to operate. Listen, that picture, we don't have it here. Remember that one with all the fire on it? That's seven, that nine licks of fire there. The big lily and all. And Brother Branham looks, there's a death head and there's a life before it. The death head signifies the old outer man perishing, inner man being renewed. He said, leave those licks of fire. Are all nine gifts, having lost one. The full armor of God was on him. And yet he couldn't protect himself. He couldn't heal himself. He could do nothing for himself. And some of you may be praying the hardest you ever prayed in your life, and you hold on by the skin of your teeth. Keep holding on, because you may be praying for somebody else. And God said, listen, just be my faithful servant. I can't grant that. It doesn't belong to you. Can you just stay with the word today? No, you got to have somebody else. And some are so scared I might tell you wrong. I could, you know. I could. I deceived myself then too, because I don't mean to. But Brother Branham said, I have the word and the power, but not the authority. I cannot speak. I cannot act until he shows me. And he went right to John and showed to Jesus. The devil came along and said, now listen, boy, I was up there with you too. Man, he said, I know all about this power. He said, I got it from God the same as you did. What are you trying to talk about? I'm going to use it too. And I'm going to get the people by getting them off the word. You say, Brother Bill, that's too simple. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea. God in simplicity. Simple God. Always used a man, always will. See? Now, one little paragraph. Now, Satan, by this fall of Adam and Eve, has taken over and possessed the Garden of Eden himself. He got them off the word. He changed it. He got them asking questions. He took over the fellowship. Where is your fellowship today? In a church? Shaking hands with somebody? Having a good time here in a fellowship hall? Or is it over the word? He took it over. And now he's had 6,000 years of deceitful rule, deceiving the people, God's children, as he did then, because they were based on free moral agency to act any way they wished to, and believing they would act right, or trusting they would act right. Then they came with the wrong act and sold their birthrights, as Esau did for the world, and Satan won it, and he took it over, and he's had it for 6,000 years to build up his Eden, as God had 6,000 years to bring his Eden to a close, and by deceit, deceit of the word, or God, or the people, now established his own Eden in this earth in sin. There you are. Now listen, Adam and Eve were not righteous. They were innocent. They were innocent. They weren't righteous. Only Christ was the righteous one. And he stood there as the righteous tree of life. And over here, signifying the enemy and what you would enter into if you went his way, was good and evil, which meant you'd be in a twilight zone, a mist. Interpreted word. Over here was a true revelation and the true life. And they went to the wrong source. And when they did, they died. And we end up today in 2 Thessalonians. The world will actually be worshiping the devil through the church. Through the wrong word. They won't even know it. They don't know it now. You see, brother, sister, why I keep preaching the prophet vindicated to God? I said I could be wrong, but he's not wrong. And you can stand with any preacher you want. That's your business. I commend you. I'll help you get there. But this church does not believe the presence is a minor. I stand here against the unbelief of these satanic serpent seeds raised up. Logos and Rhema is one and the same, or forget it. Otherwise, William Branham told us a cute little ditty, the message and the messenger are one. Now look, if you're going to quote the prophet, you better quote all the way.
Amen.
And if you're going to quote, you better know the doctrine. Satan came as though he were God to the people. God sent prophets who were God to the people. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your kindness and mercy to us this day. Again, knowing we didn't get too many paragraphs into the Word, but take a paragraph at a time, a thought at a time, Lord. By your mercy and grace, we'll see more and more of what the simplicity is and what the subtlety is. Very strange, the smartest creature could come, subtlest, smartest, cunning of the whole bunch, and just simply take one word of God, change it. And that did it. I guess, Lord, you're so true. The smart isn't smart the way people think it is. It's not half as smart. People are just not smart enough for the devil, Lord. The devil's not smart enough for you. You come back with your simple word, Lord, of faith this morning. We believe by truth somehow we're a part of it. We thank you for it, Lord. I'll just ask you one little favor again, Lord. Help us to get out of our hearts every single thing that lies in denomination, that lies in creeds and dogmas, but comes right to this word as a simple child. We know that most people are doing it, and we're so grateful for it, though many times I speak very rough, and I can apologize for that in a measure. Lord, a lot of it's my own problem, too. I get angry with myself knowing that absolutely thoughts cross my mind that are not with the prophet. And got to bury them, not just bury them, but burn them, annihilate them. Let them go back to where they came, their elements, which is certainly not yours, Lord. It belongs in the burning. We, the tares, the briar patch. So help us all, Lord, this morning to go on, acknowledging as never before, we may have some misunderstandings. We may have some doubts. We may not be able to produce anything. We never really asked to produce anything. We just asked to believe. And then if there's something to produce, you'd produce it in and through us. And we saw a perfect example in the prophet. He just laid everything bare and showed us and told us. So this morning, Lord, let your people understand that. Help us to stand not as Eve stood, but as Paul stood. He said, they've all come against me like they came against Jesus, but I'll not be moved. Life, death, no matter what it is, I'll not be moved because the unmovable one is keeping me from being moved. I'm not here by my own faith, and I'm not here by faith in him, but I'm here by the faith of him who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm depending on him. Lord, help us to come to that same simplistic way that every one of your servants have had to come to, Lord, that was brought into any kind of preeminence and example to the people, or any way, shape, and form, like Brother Branham and different men of God. There stood Wesley, and there stood absolutely Luther, there stood Martin, there stood Columba, there stood Irenaeus, there stood Paul. Men of God following right along with him. Stood right there, Lord. They didn't have to explain everything. They just believed. It wasn't up to them to produce. They just knew if they stood with the God who did produce, it'd be produced if you wanted to produce, because you know what nobody else knows. So, Father, help us to believe now. Settle everything once and for all. To write it down with a firm hand in a big book. Close the book once and for all. It's been written. Nothing more can be added. And I'll not take it away. I believe what's written. Help us there. May our hearts and our minds be close to that this morning, Lord. Closed right in there that we're believers. We'll give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name.